Well, we've been warning for months here on the show that Chicago was a cauldron ready to explode thanks to the Venezuelan gang violence that is now unfolding in that city. Now, the New York Post in a new exclusive story overnight talking about Chicago's gangbangers raging against the newly arrived Venezuelan gangs. They're saying this is a city ready to explode. Let's ask Terry Newsom, who is the host of Behind Enemy Lines, who's been covering this story from the ground in Chicago for many, many years and knows every in and out of these neighborhoods. Terry, welcome to the show. Is the New York Post right? Is Chicago ready to explode?
Yeah, they're absolutely right. As we discussed now, there was a gangland shooting in the African-American community of Inglewood just happened. So that could be the beginning of it. All it needs is one of those things to
ignite. You just sent me this. There was a shooting in Inglewood. Can you tell me what happened?
Yeah, so the Venezuelan, from my understanding, I just got this story as I was coming on your show. He's been here for 4 months and is Venezuelan living in Chicago Heights, which is south. So he must have been put there after he was in a shelter for a while or whatever he's done. And Inglewood is an African-American community. Lots of gangs there. And the guy was begging for his life. There was two witnesses that saw it and he still shot him. And if this guy is gang related that he shot, even if it's not, they're going to defend their community. And this is just a perfect example that could ignite something sooner and later. I think that the Venezuelans, you know, they're new to Chicago, right? So they're getting integrated into the community. They're learning, you know, their ins and outs. I predict by next summer, once they're really integrated, that the summer is going to be crazy. And if you remember 100 years ago, in Chicago and Al Capone, and you got the bootlegging. It was the Italians against the Irish. What were they fighting for? Right. Liquor. It's going to be the African Americans against the Venezuelans and the other gangs that they're in associated with, but they're going to be fighting over drugs. Except, like, Chicago became internationally known for St. Valentine Massacre, right? I mean, the murders here are already crazy, right? So it's not even anything compared to what happened then. They have bigger guns, more money, communications. It's going to be violent, and these guys have no connection to America, and it's probably going to be really crazy.
And these guys are terrorists. I mean, we can call them what they are, right? And now this has been happening in multiple cities across the country. We have reports of San Antonio, Miami, Aurora, Colorado, Queens, New York, St. Louis, all over the United States. These gangs being facilitated by the Biden administration to come across the border. These guys are military aged. They're well armed. No wonder the United States Congress right now is meeting and having discussions about a mass casualty event in the United States because of what we're about to see here. Can you describe what these gangs are, these Venezuelan gangs? Can you, for our audience that's not familiar with, because I think the liberal media tries to paint these people as, you know, it's 45-year-old women and they've got their little children and we're rescuing them.
Yeah, I'll give you a perfect example. I took the New York Post reporter, Dana Kennedy, toured her around. We started out with the shelters. We went to the Standard Club. The Standard Club, I have 12 months of police reports, 720, something like that, right? 720 in 12 months. So I took her to the Standard Club, waited, followed a Venezuelan guy in there because they have their little badges and stuff to get in and out, right? They get their metal detectors because they're nice, innocent asylum seekers, right? But they got to go through a metal detector before they go into their housing. And I started asking the NGO folks that are working there, right, managing it. I was dressed up in a sport jacket and stuff because before they always like, they know who I am. I tried to dress like a Hispanic and sneak in there. So they didn't recognize me. And I'm like, I have my friend from New York here and we're just trying to find out what's going on here. We understand you guys are taking care of families. So I was trying to be, you know, less concerning to them. Right. And we heard that there's some gang members that are infiltrating these families and they're like, well, we can't really talk to you, sir. Talk to so-and-so. I go, but you know, how are you guys protecting these families? We hear there's crime. He goes, oh yeah, it's only families here. And I said, oh really? I heard there's lots of crime here. Oh, there's no crime. I mean, no crime, right? Not knowing who we are and what I have, right? So when we walked out, there was a security guard, off-duty cop, gruff guy. And I said, yeah, it's my friend from New York. And I just, you know, took her out of the Standard Club. And they said, there's no crime there. And he started laughing and swearing, are you effing kidding me? No crime here, right? And then on the corner, there was six Venezuelans. Right, Bulls. The Chicago Bulls is their colors. People aren't aware, it's not because of Chicago. It's because of Venezuela. It's their international Chicago Bulls, and they love Michael Jordan. So it's not like they're wearing it because they're in Chicago. That's their gang sign. So I saw the guy with the Bulls hat on. And then cops started riding by on their bicycle. And I stopped them, let them talk to the reporter. And I went up to the guy at the Venet while I was waiting for them to talk. I pointed at the Bulls hat. I go, Tren del Agua. He goes, no comprende. I go, I pointed at, you know, he had his hat up real high. I go, Tren del Agua. You know, and then they laughed, right? And then I started acting silly. So I want to get a picture with them. And I said, photo, can I get a picture, a picture? And the one guy said in Spanish, photo. I'm like, come on, you know, and I give the cop my phone and I put my arm around the guy laughing. The guy pulls his hat down, you know, to do the photo. And then I just noticed today, the guy in the shirt next to him had the crown. That's their like, it's like the Latin Kings, the crown, you see the tattoos and stuff. So they're out there walking around, you know, showing their gang signs in the territories of which there's a 7-Eleven around the corner. And we talked to the Indian guy owning it. And there's all kinds of shoplifting, stealing, and African-Americans think that's their corner. So there's going to be a fire up. You know, something's going to ignite soon, much sooner or later. And the Venezuelan, these guys are, you know, they're responsible for, you know, I have the FOIAs, right? They have human sex trafficking, child pornography, grooming 11-year-old kid using the Obama phone, the Vortex phone, right? Using the phones that we paid for, right? They got guns, weapons, drugs hidden in the toilets. You know, so this is not me. This is police reports that I'm reflecting. Stolen cars. Ben Berquam and I caught a drug transaction going on, and they confronted us. You know, he put that out there, and they confronted us, right? They're arrogant. They don't care. And in many locations, I go and I confront them. They flashed their Tren del Agua gang signs. That was before I knew who they were. I knew they were gang members. And this was in December. And then it wasn't until New York and those six gang members beat up that police officer. I'm like, oh, wow, that's the same gang. That's the same signs they've been flashing at me. As soon as they get off the bus from Mexico in my neighborhood, the guy's flashing his gang sign at me. So these are not innocent asylum seekers. And you got the NGOs that are absolutely lying inside the centers, lying to our face, right? Lying to us. And then I don't speak Spanish, but the reporter does. She goes up and identifies herself as a reporter and is asking her, oh, no, she translated for me. They said, oh, these are all families and there's no crime. So we got the Venezuelans lying. They've been coached. You got the NGOs lying, and we have all this evidence and people like you and me and Trump about the cats. It is true, you know, and then they say they commit less crimes than us. I have the numbers, the statistics per each center showing hundreds and hundreds of crimes. And they still, like, I get attacked on Facebook, on social media and stuff saying, oh, I'm full of crap. You know, this isn't true. The fake invasion.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, you're xenophobic. This is all fake news. You're a xenophobe. Why don't you love Venezuelans? I love Venezuelans. I don't love Venezuelan gang members who are in my country illegally and killing people in America. I'm sorry, I don't have that kind of compassion. And so this is being facilitated by the United States government. This has been being facilitated by the Department of Homeland Security through the NGOs, these non-governmental organizations. They're making billions of dollars off of this. We've cataloged it deeply here on the show. And this is an invasion of our country, and it's happening right beneath our right below our eyes right now. Also, something you talked about, the cars being stolen. I know you and J.J. Carroll have covered this in Chicago. They're impounding Americans' cars in Chicago, and then if you can't get, what is it, within 23 days, if you can't pony up the money, they're handing them over to Venezuelan gang members.
Yeah, Clayton, a Chicago cop who I didn't know told me this. When I took my twins on spring break looking at colleges when they're getting the baggage, I got boy girls. I took my son with me to where they hang out with the NGOs, right? And it's a receiving at the airport, you know, so they sit there 24/7. And I told my son, come on with dad, we'll go Venezuelan hunting. So we went over there, had a confrontation with the NGOs, the same stuff that you see they do to JJ and me, right? Confrontational, trying to act like, oh, what an example you're, you know, doing for your son, right? I go, I'm teaching him to be American, right? So as we walked out, my kid goes, hey, Dad, there's a cop following, Chicago cop. I'm like, all right, here, I go here, film this. I thought I was going to have a confrontation. I said, did you see what was going on in there with these guys? He goes, no. And I said, well, I'm just hunting down these Venezuelans and stuff. He rolled his eyes. He's like, so I knew he was upset, right? And I told him what was going on. I showed him the video of Ben and I with the confrontation with that car in the paper plate. And he gives me the phone back. He goes, you know where they're getting those cars from? I'm like, yeah, they're stolen. He goes, no. He goes, they're getting them from the pound. I go, what do you mean? He goes, I don't know if it's 23 or 28 days, whatever it is. He goes, so the city takes, you know, control of those cars and they could auction them out. He goes, they're giving some of these vehicles to the Venezuelans. I go, are you serious? He goes, yeah. And my son was there. And then, so I've been doing FOIAs, Clayton, and I'm getting the bounce around. I'm trying from the finance department to the, you know, the police obviously aren't going to be responsible, you know, and they keep bouncing around, not giving me an answer like they have in some other situations of the police reports. The Chicago PD guys are cool. They don't want this. They're put, you know, their lives are being put in danger, you know, because.
Right. I was just about to ask you, they're right in the middle of this. So when this tinderbox explodes, whether it's, you know, in the next couple of weeks or it's next summer, it's going to happen. These Venezuelan gangs versus the native population of Chicago, these police officers are going to be in the middle of it when that city burns.
You probably saw in JJ's documentary or some of my stuff, you know, we got this different migrant shelters and they're all over the place, right? You'll see them selling with little tables and coolers, right? Or out of the trunk of the car. So another guy, gang crimes guy, said the Trendelargo guys are charging them like a street tax. You know, so like if you want to set up in front of the shelter, I'm like, okay, Clay, I don't know what it is. He's a percentage of something, you know, in what I was told. So what they're doing is they're preying off their own people until they move up the food chain, just like the Black Hand, remember, with the mob guys in Chicago? And my grandpa opened up a bakery, and they kept asking him for protection. He was a hard-headed right from Italy. He kept saying no, and the Capone gang, not Al Capone, they burned my grandpa's bakery down. They burned it down because he refused. So the rest of his life, he had nothing. So the rest of his life until he died, I was a month old. I never got to know him. But my mom said he worked in a bakery. He had nothing. And he refused to pay him. So if you hear about this stuff in Aurora, right, and they're going in apartments and they're going, you know, all over the country, what do you think they're doing? They're preying on their own people. They're strong-arming them, right, to make them pay. And then once they get into the drugs and stuff. But the difference is they have a hook now. They got $5,000-$10,000 that are owed to the cartels. They are probably collaborating with them, right, to hold them hostage, right, to hold them hostage while they're here, unlike what they weren't held hostage for any, you know, cartels or mob guys. So they're going to have a whole new level of control over their population and probably force people that are good people that came here. And they're stuck, right? And they're going to have to do something to protect their families. Yeah. And it's going to make it much, much of a broader problem.
Well, we're watching this all unfold. Chicago about to explode. Terry Newsom, you can listen to him on Behind Enemy Lines. He's doing amazing journalism there, getting the stories right from the police, right from the ground, and sharing them with us. Terry,
our the attention that she deserves. She did such a good job. We want to make sure everybody knows she did that. It's a Venezuelan coming into Chicago.
That's an amazing shirt. Yeah. Oh, she just went to the border for the first time. So now it's all good. Now she's back to being the border czar. Terry, great to see you. Keep up the great work. Thanks, Terry.
Thank you.
If you suffer from daily pain, I need you to listen to this message very carefully. What we know about pain relief is changing forever. As we age, aches and pains are normal, and we're all searching for effective ways to relieve pain without side effects and addiction. Let's be frank, we've all seen the horrors of the opioid crisis. You may even be affected personally. Your family might know someone that has been affected by this. That's where a pioneering medical scientist comes in, Clint Winters. You may have seen the world-renowned health expert featured in the national media. He's unveiled a natural pain reliever that has taken the world by storm. And I'm talking about Canolidine, the 100% drug-free way to get full-body pain relief without dangerous pills. As you read this right now, Canolidine has become the go-to pain reliever for over 1 million Americans, hundreds of professional athletes. It was even named as the UFC's number one official pain reliever for the UFC. Right now, you guys can try it. Go to tricano.com/redacted, and you're going to get it for less than $1 per day. You can access the only Canolidine product in the world for less than $1 per day. Clint has provided this special link for you guys. You can guys get this special discount. Just go to tricano.com/redacted. I see a bunch of people in the chat who've already ordered this. Give it a shot. If you suffer from chronic pain, you don't want to have that addiction from drugs, tricano.com/redacted, the 100% drug-free Canolidine. Try it for less than $1 a day.